One thing I summarize this about is, I don't know, Dave, we got to click there. Yeah, there we go. Some debate the idea of a Roman census taking place, yet every emperor always busied himself with gathering his taxes properly. It's not an unusual concept. You read any historian, they'll tell you, oh yeah, Augustus organized his taxes as one of the ways he was effective as an emperor. And some Bible scholar might criticize that and say, oh, it didn't happen. We don't read it in the history books. But it's just a common fact. It's actually been established by some exterior truths. Traveling on the road is never easy. And this may not be the road Joseph and Mary went on, but you can see that when you're on the road, it's not easy, especially when expecting a baby. Accommodation is always a challenge in every time and place. People are stuck at airports, and how do you get to a hotel room that has even available if they're all jammed in there? You know, if you're in LAX, all the hotel rooms anywhere nearby would be gone. The beautiful thing of our Lord's birth is that it is real. It took place in a real place, Bethlehem. Here's Bethlehem on Christmas Eve in the recent past. And it is a real place with a real person who started a journey of faith that would finish as God's greatest gift of love and devotion to us. We're asking that our prayer, our faith in him might be strong, because joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're going to open the scriptures and look at Luke 2. Let us hear this with fresh ears, and let our hearts be open to listening to your voice of the Spirit speaking to us and bringing conviction to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the text is this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So, being a Bible scholar, I went to Google, and I said, was Quirinius governor of Syria? Yes, for sure. It's historically proven. He was governor right between the time just before Jesus was born, and he finished at 12 AD after Jesus. And they've even found an inscription by a Roman soldier saying to the consul in Syria, I completed the job of taking a census in this whole province of Rome. So it's no surprise. This is very much rooted in history. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth, where he lived and worked, in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So he is Davidian, and Jesus was to come from that line, to take the throne of David. That is his destiny. That is his purpose. That is how God designed it to be. And Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, that's kind of strange, pledged to be married, but the whole idea is that he found her expecting a child that wasn't his. An angel came to him and gave him a dream, and he said, you may take her as your wife. This is a work of God. And he trusted that, and he believed it. And Joseph was ready to be that. And then when Mary had had Jesus, then she went on with her duties as a wife. But at this point, it's just like preliminary. They're married, and Joseph considers this his child. She is expecting. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. So this story is simple. It is so well known. But what we have to do is begin with the beginnings, a good start. Christmas begins with Christ. Remember that when you look at the word. And beginnings are very important. On Guam here, there is a special day called the Day of Discovery. I didn't know about it till I came here. But it's a day remembering when Magellan's ship first cast anchor off the shores of Guam. His ships and crew were on an epic voyage which was meant to circumnavigate the globe. In his view, according to the globe that he had and the maps he had, when he got to the bottom of South America, went to the Strait of Magellan, and came out, he was only going to sail for a few days, and he was going to end up in the Spice Islands. He was the Molucca fleet. You know, they're looking for spices, cloves, and things like that, which grow in Molucca, part of the Indonesia. But, however, it took them, I think, 4 or 5 weeks to get across the Pacific. It's huge. Look at us. We try to fly back and forth from America, and that's a huge flight. All the way to Honolulu, and then maybe on to here, or Narita, Japan, whatever. It's a long, long journey. And by the ships, it was long. But they were people who started in Seville, Spain, the beginning. That's where they set sail, from Seville. And by the time somebody returned, there was one ship left and 18 people out of 270. Circumnavigating the globe was not easy. It was a hard task. But this is where they started. They returned to Seville. The voyage brought them all the way from Spain to the coast of what is now Argentina, then through the straits at the bottom of South America. Then they had to sail across the vast expanse of ocean to find their way to the Northern Marianas. But their beginning was Seville. I currently live in Ladera Tower. It's a 21-story building not far from here. Approximately 220 units, apartments in it. But before it existed, I'm sure it was only jungle over there. And to start building it, you needed to make a beginning, establish a strong foundation. Now, so far, it's handled earthquakes with no problem. So they built it well. So also our Lord had his beginning. He started his life on earth in Bethlehem, city of David. It is a place from ancient times, even when Jesus arrived there, when he was born in Bethlehem. It was ancient. Samuel visited there, a figure of the Old Testament, and he anointed David to be the new king. Not the older brothers, who all looked like kings. He chose the little guy who didn't look like he was going to amount to anything. But he was anointed. That's the way God worked. Out of small things can come something great. It's the place in Bethlehem where David's father, Jesse, had the family home. Jesse is David's father. Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem because of David, due to his father, Joseph, being connected by bloodline to David. We all have a lineage too. You have a place where you began your life on this planet Earth, where you were born. Now, surprisingly, my lineage is identical, oh, this is Bethlehem, the real place, to Noah's. Noah Veni, born to Becky Veni, wife of Pastor Verlin Veni, in Rochester General Hospital in Rochester, New York. Both of us, same place where we began. It's ironic, isn't it? Now, I'll tell you another aside. Somebody in church today has my shirt on and has black slacks. Now, you have to figure out who that is. But he went to Kmart, bought the same shirt. You can go and meet him afterwards. I'm not going to embarrass him. These ironic connections. I was born there in Rochester General Hospital, delivered by a Dr. Cry. No joke. His name was really Dr. Cry. Now, to be born in a manger amongst the animals is like going back to the Garden of Eden. And perhaps that is the whole point. There is no need for a palace for this royal king to be born. He's already the heir of the throne of heaven. Here, we're back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and the animals. You know, Adam has to name them all. There is no earthly finery that can improve on Jesus' heavenly abode. Jesus has no need for any earthly proof of his divine glory that came as his legacy. He had come from the finest, willing to be found in the humblest of circumstances. Whatever you do today, get past the baby, because this baby is now the Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we humans strive for some kind of recognition all the time. Any honor and finery we can secure is a welcome thing, and we just marvel at it. Queen Elizabeth. On the one side, she's wearing the garments of the garter, whatever. There's an honor named the garter. She's wearing these incredible robes. And then she's wearing her tiara, and she's crowned in fine, fine clothing. That's the way kings and queens do it. But not Jesus. He had no airs or graces when he was born. And any king or queen gets buried with great quantities of goods. This is a royal burial tomb. Judy would feel right at home here. Archaeology. There's all kinds of fine things, the armor and everything else, but what else do you have? Bones and no flesh. It's all decayed. Kings and queens get buried with lots of goods, but none of it matters. All of it decays. Nothing on this earth can change your status in heaven. It is strictly a matter of faith. But our Lord, by way of contrast, has been truly glorified. This is a picture of Jesus in Revelation. It's an artist's drawing, so it's stylized, but here he is among the lampstands of the churches. And he is in glory. He's glorified. Nothing left to decay. His life, as one of us, is given as kind of a snapshot. It's not a real biography. You know, you go and get a biography, Billy Graham, very thick. You can get biographies of Lincoln or biographies of Julius Caesar or whatever, you know, whatever figure in history. They're very thick books. Not Jesus. It's just brief snapshots. We see him born in Bethlehem. And in his birth, we're getting but a glimpse, what, if you will, of the true reality of who he is. He is far greater. He was born in Bethlehem, then went on to live in Nazareth. As a member of his village, the townspeople knew him. As a young lad, he would go up to pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem. There's recounted a story of him talking to the teachers there. He went there many times during the course of his life and his ministry, always found there teaching in the temple courts, going up to the temple for the festivals. It was a real reality. Until finally, his life was brought to a dramatic conclusion in a trial conducted before the senior members of leadership, the high priest, teachers of the law, the elders, all the people who ruled over the Jewish people living there in Israel. And the trial took place and was then conducted in front of Pilate, because the Roman power had to finally deliver the verdict of execution, which could not be done by the Jews themselves. They were under the dominion of the Romans. When all was done, it was over. He had been crucified. The journey to the cross was complete. But let us return to the beginning. There is something sweet and lovely about this. The town of Bethlehem was jammed. There were no vacancies. All the spots were filled. So they had to make do, as one does, no matter what the circumstance. This beginning is not dramatic judgment. There is no overpowering flood, like in the days of Noah, to wipe away all the corruption of the planet Earth. There is no brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. Does not descend. The Lord does not intervene in dramatic battles with Israel's enemies. No. The sent one the Messiah, arrived in the cry of a newborn baby. This was without any earthly fanfare and zero pomp and ceremony. But this is where God came to earth. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. This drew a chorus of angels, a shining star, an audience with foreign potentates. We are ever so glad it occurred at this time and in this place. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Why do we remember this? We're going to watch a video as they answer the question.